Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, all Scott.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we're talking about Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Do you guys give up or are you thirsty for more?
Wrong Home Alone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This movie
Don't
came out.
Don't you know
in...
kids always win against idiots?
This movie came out in 1992, directed by Christopher Columbus.
I thought you got canceled.
Written by John Hughes.
Yeah, they had that parade for him, and now no more.
Yeah, now it's just regular October. Starring Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, Catherine O'Hara, and the rest. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Herpa derpa. There was the Ali Sheedy cameo, too. I don't know if you guys caught that.
I did not.
Yeah, where was she?
She was the not the flight attendant, but the person at the counter in the airport in New York. The woman. She's only in the movie for like 2 seconds. Yeah.
I see. The one where he goes, excuse me, miss, what city is that out there?
Yeah.
That's New York. Okay.
That's right.
Now, and also one of the other Culkin boys is in this, Kieran Culkin.
Yeah, Kieran Culkin.
Is this the one that's in Signs or no?
Yes.
I get confused with him and Rory Culkin. I might have been Rory.
How many Culkins are there?
A lot.
Too many cooks. Mm-hmm. Too many
Culkins.
Too many Culks.
Kieran's too the one with the big career now. Succession, Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in Signs, so it must be the other Culkin boy.
Yeah. This is another Culkin boy.
It must be Shemp Culkin. All right. Who picked this movie? Alex?
That's me. Yeah.
All right. What's your history with this movie?
My family and I loved the first Home Alone. It was great. It was. And then this Home Alone, I was a little bit older. You know, I was about 11, 12 when this came out. So I was at the age where I was pretending like it was dumb, but secretly like I really loved it. I thought it was hilarious. And I vividly remember that when we watched this at home and my grandmother was visiting, she did a coffee spit take during the gags. So it's a great movie. I still love it.
All right. So at home, you didn't see it in the theater?
No, I watched it in the theater and then later that year when my grandmother came over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, Scott, what's your history with this movie?
Saw it in the theaters. I'm sure loved it as a kid. I'm sure Alex will bring up a tie-in to this movie that we're both aware of around the same time. But yeah, it's been a while since I've actually seen it. Maybe on cable at some point, but yeah. Mostly just remember the movie theater experience and watched it on Disney Plus this time around.
Correct. That's mm-hmm. where I saw it as well. I did not see this in the theater. I don't remember watching this as a kid, but I must have. So I watched it on rental or some kid's house because I was older, right? I mean, this age, at this time, I'm like 15 years old. So yeah, I was. If you thought you were too cool to watch this, Alex, I definitely thought I was too cool to watch this. I really don't remember it. I know a couple, like last year, the year before, Laura and I watched it. So I have watched it recently. Yeah, talk about it. It's kind of the same movie, just in New York. But we will get into it. Anything else to add?
Nope.
All right. Well, as usual, we're going to talk about seven items from the movie. Alex, what's your number seven?
My number seven is the McAllister parents are just the fucking worst. I know in these kind of movies and everything, the parents are dumb. But man, are they? Oh my god, they just bend over backwards for Buzz, the shittiest kid on Earth. I feel like
Buzz, not necessarily redeems himself, but like he's a big brother. He's like a bully big brother. Like,
yeah,
his character actually makes sense.
How many kids are theirs, by the way? How many belong to the?
I think just two.
No, just I two? Thought one of the girls is theirs.
One of the girls is his sister, probably. Okay.
Yeah, like Phenom, I think was one of theirs, right?
Phenom.
Yeah, the girl with the braces. Didn't she play Phenom in that TV show Phenom, where she was a tennis star?
I mean, I remember the TV show. Yeah, I don't remember. That's actually her, Alex. That's a very strong bull.
I'm pretty sure.
They was hoping they'd have the full names on here in the credits, but they don't. It doesn't, so you could see who's McAllister or not.
Yeah, who's McAllister?
But I guess cousins could still be McAllisters too.
So the other Culkin kid is like a cousin. So
yeah,
we know that much.
Fuller,
yeah.
But yeah, they lose their kid again. It's like, oh, let's just come on, Kevin. You got to hurry up. So I'm gonna run full tilt and leave you behind. Like what?
But like,
nah, that's just bad parenting.
Yeah, and it's bad. I was telling Laura watching this time, like, I can't believe American Airlines put their names be used here because they fuck up in this movie too. Oh yeah, go find your dad. We're good. Like,
yeah,
oh, I know it's pre 9/11 and things are a lot less tight security wise, but they still don't come off looking too good in this movie.
So wouldn't, like, as parents, and some of them are like little kids, like, and Kevin's little. Would you make 10, sure, like, they go out of their way to say, like, oh, we're all in different seats. I'm like, okay, that's fair. And then, but you would make sure that your kid was situated. You wouldn't just let your kid find their own seat. Like, you know, for really thinking about it. The thing that bothered me the most, though, was at the very beginning when the mom was asking him if he was all packed. Like, there's no way, like... They kind of hand wave it. She says, did you put away like everything I laid out for you, whatever? But you still would not trust the kid to put stuff into the suitcase or whatever else. Like, there's no way.
But that's kind of one of the lessons that I learned from the first one. Because at the beginning of the first one, he's asking everybody, can you help me pack my bag? I don't know what to pack. And everybody was shitting on him as usual. He's like, you know, mom's just going to pack your bag at the last minute. Don't worry about it. Why are you being, you know, a brat about this?
So is that actually a callback? Because I don't remember.
I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah,
that he learned through his experience.
Okay, well, for that. Yeah, okay, she was humoring him. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the one thing I will say, too, about them, I mean, as stupid as the premise is again, like, him getting confused, like, stopping for a second, looking up, getting confused by a different dad. Like, I could see that totally happening. They're rushing to get on a plane. I could see that happening. But like you said, once you got on the plane, you would start counting heads and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All right.
Well, he's sitting next to vegetable lasagna. He had to put on his headphones.
Yeah.
It's also frustrating because, well, I'll talk more about this, like, one of the adults is absolutely like, this could happen to him. We'll get into that.
Yeah. All right, Scott, number seven.
Okay. My number seven is, what are they doing to that house that they're renovating it? Like, it looked like something out of a Saw movie. But
yeah,
but only that, just like the giant hole in the floor. Like, it was like a demo hole. Like, there wasn't, it wasn't like, there was no, it made no sense. And then there's just straight up like red or yellow and green paint. Like, what the hell was that supposed to be for? Like, I'm pretty sure that you could get like the paint color you wanted, like back in 1990, whenever this was made again. Like, you didn't have to just like figure out the paint color. The house made no sense.
Well, the demo make, all right, they're in demo phase. That's why they had the tube hanging out. So, and maybe part of the floor dry rot, and then maybe. But why would they have paint already? I don't know. You wouldn't have paint at the same time you were putting holes in the floor.
Also, like, I get it's New York, and people are just going to ignore like noises and stuff like that. But there's nobody else around. Like, there's clearly people like have put up Christmas decorations next door to that house. Like, everybody just leaves their super expensive homes, I guess. Like, I don't know.
This is a very vacant New York, by the way. It's
very extraordinarily like empty New York. Yeah, mm-hmm.
He runs down blocks without a single soul. You're like, I don't think that's how
like,
it works.
There's two like people. They pretty much look like corpses. But at that point, they're dragging Kevin into Central Park. Like, like no one's gonna like say anything.
No, like, New York.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right. My number seven, and this has been bugging me, not bugging me, but I was going to say the Donald Trump cameo. Yeah. It is what it is. Donald Trump's. But as I've been watching older movies and older things, this guy has been in our lives for as long as I can remember. And I never really made a big deal about it until the last 7 years of our life, whatever it's been. But like, isn't it weird when you go back and like I said, whatever your thoughts on the guy, but like, I just like said, Wedding Singer, they're talking about, oh, your relationship's going to work. Like, Donald and Ivana, like, just everything I watched. This guy has always been around. Old WrestleManias, like, early ones, he's there sitting next to Vince McMahon. Later on, he was actually
two pillars of the community.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny how, like,
no,
he's always been around.
There's a rom-com that I actually like that's Hugh Grant and Speed. God,
it's been a long
day.
Sandra Bullock.
Thank you. It's been a long day. Sandra Bullock.
Speed. That girl from the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wildcat. Yeah. The two of them are in it, and it's in New York, and Donald shows up all of a sudden, like, spits out a few lines. Everything. Like, yeah.
So I just had to mention it.
Yeah.
It's part of the Stonecutters, that's why.
Yeah. All right. He was not, well, the first one wasn't in New York. That's why he wouldn't have been in that. It was just anything had to do with New York, I guess, right? He showed his face in. Like, I don't know. He was the billionaire celebrity, or billionaire, millionaire probably back then, a celebrity of the 80s and 90s. This is before all the software millionaires. Is that why? Like, I don't even know. Like, why have we known about this guy forever?
There's been stupidly rich people for a long time. He just, like, wanted people to know that. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like, yeah, that were in pop culture, I guess. That were somehow in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Or so. Anyway, Alex, number six.
My number six is Pigeon Susan Boyle. I mean, what can I say? She's a scary lady covered in bird shit.
She had to smell so bad.
So bad. Like, and she's secretly living in an opera house or whatever. Kevin gives her a turtle dove. Thank you. I mean, food or money would have been nice, but I'll take this bird, this fake bird. Because I'm covered in them.
Like it's so back then, it's like, okay, it's cute. Kid goes up. But now it's like, how many years later since this movie came out? Like,
this is 92, man.
It's like, was she just like a few winters down the road, she just finally succumbed to despair and hypothermia. And just like wishing that, or just remembering that one time that kid was nice to her. And Kevin is, you know, he's like, getting ready to go to college or something, and he really has forgotten all about her, even though he said he wouldn't. And mm-hmm. He goes to New York one day and wonders about her, and can't find her. And then he realizes, like, he should have, like, helped her out because his dad's super rich, and, like, he could actually, like...
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I mean, that is one way of looking at it. And she turned into Gollum, and she's stroking the turtle dove.
My precious.
Or she found faith in humanity with this little boy, and she...
decided to turn herself in and tell the cops where all the bodies were.
She decided she was going to try to become a singer for real, and they turned her away because she was a homeless pigeon lady.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. She went to America's Got Talent or whatever. Was that the one? Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, man.
She dreamed the dream or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, best not to think about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
As with the many things in this movie.
But what did you expect Kevin to do? He wasn't a little boy.
No, Kevin then, but I'm just saying, like, if you think it all the way through, like, it's very, very sad.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The bandits die of 8-ball hemorrhages and shit. Like, as this...
that's not so bad. I think we're going to kill the kid.
Yeah, I have more to say about a lot of this stuff later. All right. Scott number 6?
Yes.
All right. My number 6 is I was waiting for Buzz to do something that made me laugh. Because in the first movie, he had probably the funniest line in the movie with the, like, A. Like, he's, like, probably doing fine. 2. Like, he's just an idiot. And this, when he's trying to call attention to the family, and he goes to whistle, and he just goes, like... that made me laugh. That was, I think that was like the funniest, like, that wasn't a line per se, but that was a very funny joke.
Yeah, it was funny.
The kid is actually pretty funny. I don't think he's done a whole lot, but or the actor anyway. And,
I think he's been in a good chunk of stuff.
David Rattray.
He voiced local pedestrian population in Red Dead Redemption 2. There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Home Sweet Home Alone. He was in that. And that movie's a piece of shit.
He was in Better Call Saul.
There you go.
And I guess I didn't recognize him. All right. Well, my number 6 is, I just kind of mentioned it. And I know that's this movie, it's Looney Tunes, but my God, like, the first brick to hit him in the head, he'd be switching so and dead funny. On the floor.
Definitely more to say about it. Like, Jeff, my number 5 is literally went to Looney Tunes.
Like I said, it's the premise of the movie, but, like, yeah, seriously, it just starts out with him taking 10 bricks to the head, and then it only gets worse from there, so...
Suck brick, kid!
If I could take back, if I could take back one thing, it would have been the skeleton.
Yes, that was beyond Looney Tunes. That was Tom and Jerry.
Too far.
No, disagree.
Strong disagree.
Yeah, I had to convince my youngest boy Eric that those are fake bricks. But why would Kevin be throwing fake bricks if he really wants to hurt these crooks? No, you son, you don't understand. These are actors. They're not going to go with real bricks at them.
But then, if they're real actors, why are they trying to hurt him?
Yeah.
All right, Alex, number 5.
My number 5 is Angels with Filthier Souls.
Yeah.
Which is the black and white movie Angels with Filthy Souls that Kevin watches in the first film while eating a big sundae and everything. And he's scared and he yells, "Mom, keep the change, you filthy animal.
And have a happy new year."
Yeah, he's kind of doing the same thing, but he's got room service and the guy's like, doing triple scoop Sunday on him, and this time he wasn't really scared. It's like, oh, she's rat bait. You gonna talk about it more, Scott?
A little bit.
Okay. I'll stop it right there because the gag towards the end of the middle of the movie is also really funny. So
is anybody gonna talk about the room service charge?
No.
how depressing it is. Like the same with like diehard gas prices.
Like I saw, I'm like, that's actually nothing. Oh. Like for like everything that he was getting sent up to that room.
Today's standards, like, I know. A limo ride, cheese pizza. Although those might have been complimentary from Tim Curry.
Yeah, it's possible. But the $987 is like, it's nothing. It's nothing. And his dad's obviously like loaded. Like,
yeah.
I guess he was still been mad that he spent that money. That makes sense, I guess. But
that's like just half an hour of work for me. Because
I remember, I remember that scene, and I kept waiting. Like, are they going to do like the whole? Are they actually going to see the amount? And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like, it's going to be like a couple grand or something like that.
$10,000,
yeah, like at least. But no, not even five figures.
Yeah, I remember we saw it, and we went, that's cheaper than our honeymoon bill. We didn't even get room service.
Yeah. Scott Dan, 1992 down. Money.
This is hotel fees. You get charged every day for some stupid-ass reason. And then, well, we did get a couple of drinks at the bar.
Just a couple. All
right. Where are we at now?
Fives.
All right. Have you done five yet, Alex?
That was it.
Oh, okay. Then Scott, number five.
Number five was, your, to your point, Jeff, they went to Looney Tunes with this. A little bit more to say about that later. But yeah,
I still disagree.
All right. Well, number five for me is the product placement or the big commercial for the stupid toy they were trying to sell. And that just made me super mad.
My brother had one. My brother got one for Christmas.
Was it the slime dinosaur thing?
No, his recorder.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot that was a real thing.
As a kid, it was pretty damn cool. Yeah.
But it was made for the movie. Like, that was a whole thing. And that just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
And it would never work. You get duped kids, and no one would have fall for your recording.
The fake department store or toy store was pretty rad, by the way.
They didn't even sell toys. It was just a big
toy. I was trying to figure out like what the hell they were actually selling there, because it was just like all it was all like prop decorations to like
like
Christmas. It was like, yeah, it's like Christmas decorations. It wasn't actually selling anything.
Yeah. That's what I would expect the New York toy store to be like, but I'm sure it's not. They don't even have toy stores anymore, do they?
Not really.
Target.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what. And that won't be around for much longer, I'm sure.
Yeah, Target, Walmart.
Yeah. When I was, Target was, I guess when I was a kid, it was Toys R Us and Target. That's where we went for our toys.
You used to have KB.
You go to KB's.
KB Toys.
Yeah. Yeah, but my parents never... We never went there. I don't know. We weren't mall people, I guess.
What mall people? No.
Take that, mall rat. All right. Alex, number four.
My number four is Tim Curry. I think he was a great addition to the cast. Like another antagonist for Kevin to kind of fool... And as stupid as that was with the clown in the tub and everything with the silhouette, Tim Curry just sells the surprise in his face when he turns around. Get out of here, nosy little pervert, or I'm going to slap you silly.
Yeah.
When he gets slapped, like...
Oh, that's the best.
His lip quivers. That was hilarious.
Yeah, his tears almost running down. You can see, you can literally see the tears welling up in his eyes.
Yeah, great. I have a little more to say about him later, but yeah, awesome. Right.
He's army crawling down the hallway.
Yeah.
Get back to your rooms.
It's a madman with a gun.
Scott, number four.
Number four is the hotel staffers are sociopaths. Like, again, I get it. It's the heightened, like, reality here with the Looney Tunes logic, but they're all just like out to get him immediately. Like, not one of them stops to be like, you know, he is a kid. Like, we should just like ask him instead of like trying to like like pull one over on him. Yeah, like
where are your parents?
It's like out to get this kid. Like it makes no sense. But
well, there are thieves in New York.
Yeah,
I think they're all there.
It's true. We saw that episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah,
the cop steals from. But
like, yeah, why Tim Curry like singles him out like instantly?
Yeah, it's weird. And then and like breaks into the hotel room when someone's there. Like, that's got to be illegal, even back in 1990, whatever.
Yes.
So.
For sure it is.
Yeah, as an adult, like, it bothered me. Like, that he thought that only the kid was there. Like, let's say he does get in there and it's only the kid there. Like,
yeah.
What was his plan? Like, it's a little creepy.
Well, remember, Donald Trump owned this hotel, so anything goes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
The all the sheets in the penthouses had also were rubber. Anyway,
for extra bounce.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Heyo, go get the rubber sheets and the gerbils. All right, Scott, number four.
Did we skip somebody?
No, Tim Curry was on number four, and then
my number four was the hotel staff or sociopaths.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Although I did like the line, like, what kind of idiots run this place? Only the finest.
Jeff, number four.
Jeff, number four, yes.
Yeah. I felt the bandits, the wet bandits, sticky bandits, or whatever, unnecessary in this movie. Like, this sequel, I get they're just replaying the last movie, but I think Tim Curry and the staff was enough of a foil for Kevin in this, and they didn't need to have them again.
I mean, it's pretty much just beat for beat the first movie. Like,
yeah, and that's why.
Yeah,
I think it could be. I thought it would have been better, I guess, if they didn't repeat everything again. Okay, he gets lost. The movie is called Home Alone, so he's alone again, but not be. But I guess you wouldn't have all the Looney Tunes stuff with him. I don't know. I just felt like seriously, we need these guys again. But I guess building off the first one, just doing the exact same thing. I don't know. I just felt there was room to, like, because Tim Curry and the staff, like you said, they were kind of doing that too. So maybe just do more with them. But I guess they don't deserve to get hit in the face.
But like,
with
I mean,
and paint cans and
Joe Pesci is kind of like the star power here. So he's like the biggest name in this movie. So you kind of you'd want him back. He was willing to come back.
But in the sequel, you don't need him because people were just going for a cute kid.
That is true. Macaulay Culkin got paid. Was like,
he got paid in pancakes.
No, he got paid like $4.5 million to be in this movie.
Wow.
So
speaking of which, he just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Good for him.
Oh yeah, and I saw a picture with him and Catherine O'Hara again. That was cute.
Yeah. And he's on the YouTube show we always watch. We talked about that too.
Yeah, Red Letter Media. I still haven't seen the other episodes that he guest starred in recently.
Anyway, like I said, it all makes sense why Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are back, but maybe they shouldn't have been there and he'd done something a little bit different, but whatever. All right. Alex, number three.
My number three is that John Hughes has a set of balls on him. Like we were talking about making the same movie again. And it was a hit. I mean, as far as I know, right? I mean, it made money.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they got over a big sack of money. He's like, yep.
Here we go. All right. I'm going to make this movie again. Gangbusters. But I got to tell you, good thing he quit when he did. It's like, nah, two is pushing it, and I'm out, because the rest of the movies are just, ugh, they're dog shit.
And these movies are only 2 years apart. Like, that's just, because they had to, because of Macaulay Culkin, right? Like, you had to keep him at that age, but it's just like, that's pushing out the movie and then just getting the one immediate. I'm sure they went into production, like, 6 months after the first one came out or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who made this movie? Who was this by?
Yeah. The subsequent, Fox. Because I've seen Home Alone 3 with the other kid, and that one did try something different, but it's like all the gags have been done, you know. With this one, it was like some criminals that hit a computer chip inside of an RC car, and that got lost, and it got sent to the kid's home, And the kid was the only one that knew that they were bad guys trying to steal it from his house. And he sets up the traps and whatnot and everything.
Holy shit. No one's in this movie except Scarlett Johansson apparently is in that movie.
Oh, yeah. She's the older sister. That's a jerk to... I think Alex is the character's name. I remember because it's my name.
Alex Pruitt, and she's Molly Pruitt. So you're probably
he's named
right.
like my name.
yes, then, Alex. Yes.
I know. Fucking Home Alone 4 I didn't even watch.
I did not see the third one, so I don't...
Then there was another Home Alone that was, I think, just made for TV. I think the last two were made for TV. And then Home Sweet Home Alone was just awful. The people who got trounced in all the traps didn't even deserve it. It was just some stupid big misunderstanding. Nobody was a criminal. It was like, this is just dumb.
Isn't there like a show now?
I hope not.
I think it's like a Disney Plus series or something. I could be wrong.
Is it called MacGyver?
I don't get it.
Because he has to invent his way out of a sticky situation. Set traps and whatnot, you know?
There's a horror movie called Home, comma, Not Alone.
Is it written by John Hughes?
No, Amy Barrett.
Oh, okay.
I'm not starring gonna watch it. Adam Rockoff. This might be a porno. I'm not sure.
All right, sounds. I want Jeff. This is a kids' movie. I want nothing to do with that. Where are you seeing this stuff?
Is this on IMDb?
Yeah.
Home, comma, Not Alone. No, it's not part of it. I just searched for Home Alone, and that was one of the movies that came up.
I'm disgusted. Give me the website, Jeff, so I know not to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this is a porn. I think it's just a shitty movie. That's all it is. All right. Where do we leave off here?
That was my number three. John Hughes has balls. Or head balls, I should say.
All right. Okay, so Scott, number three.
My number three, I have to go back to look at my original Home Alone movie list. Because I imagine I would have said something about this there also, but Uncle Frank is a real piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, he is a piece of shit.
Like, good on it. Like, actor's doing a good job, because I really hate this character. Yeah, I really hate him. Like, because back to them being shitty parents, like, he's clearly, like, saying horrible stuff to Kevin, like, all the time. And the other adults never call him out on it. Like, I get they weren't around for him screaming at him, like, go away, you little pervert, or I'll slap you silly. Which is an awful thing to say to a kid, especially when you just leave the bathroom door open like a jackass. Mm-hmm. It makes it clear that he's, like, coattailing. Like, he's not paying for anything. Like, his brother-in-law is.
I wanted to ruin your vacation, Uncle Cheapskate.
Yeah, like... I feel bad for his kids, because his kids are going to be like him. That's like, geez. Yeah, just, like, he's worthless. Like, it should have, I get that it has to be, like, Catherine O'Hara, so you can actually feel sympathy for the parents here. But, like, if it was Frank, it'd be like, yeah, he's just an asshole. Like, of course he lost his kid. Like,
yeah.
The aunt, or whatever, like, she seems fine, but she's kind of like a non-entity, though, like in this movie. I don't remember if she did much in the first movie either, but... anyways, just Uncle Frank really bothers me. Like, hate that guy.
Yeah.
All right, agreed. My number three we've already talked about. I just didn't like that it's a rehash of the exact same story, but just not as good. There it is. Back in the 90s and 80s, you just make a sequel and just put in New York. And it works.
Or, you know, you could do the same thing with Star Wars movies.
In New York.
In New York. Sky hive of scum and villainy.
You mean...
The universe. Don't say it.
I was just trying to think of a bar, like a famous bar in New York, but I don't know any. So
some
Alex, Ray's Pizza, the original Ray's Pizza.
Somehow the Wet Bandits are back.
Somehow I get it.
That's correct.
Don't ever speak of that movie again. Alex, number two.
My number two is I like Kevin. I like that he doesn't take shit, even though he gets shit on all the time. He's gonna fight back. He messes up the whole family's dinner and everything and gets his tickets thrown away in the first one. And this one, he is 100% justified in knocking down Buzz, that piece of shit. And his parents just buy it. He's like, oh, don't you have something to apologize for, Kevin? He's like, no, I was completely on Kevin's side on that side.
But that argument. By the way, going back to the choir thing, like, what? Was that a church or a school thing?
I think it was a school thing, night recital.
So, choir. Like, Buzz seems like he's 10 years older than Kevin. So, like, how are they both in the same choir? Like, that didn't make any sense to me.
Could be a church thing, too, I guess. Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought it was a school thing. You bring up a good point. But then, like you said, that's...
Yeah, don't think about it, actually.
Yeah.
The fact that Buzz just was getting away with it. I hate it when villains don't get their comeuppance. Hate it.
Scott, number two.
Okay. My number two is the mobster movie, the Angels. What is it, Alex, again? The
Angels with filthier, so with even filthier souls.
Yeah, Angels with filthy souls. Oh God, I don't know why I love it so much. Maybe just the actor in the black and white, and just the noir stuff in this again. It really bothered me as a kid that he mows her down. talk about having balls. Like that's legitimately disturbing. Like in the first one, it's like okay, it's like he's watching an adult movie and like he
AC said 10%.
Yeah, like it's like okay, it's like another like. Villain, but it's funny how she just like he starts listing off all the people she smooched with. that was
Cliff.
That was very cute. Then Kippy Joe with the Kippy leg. But then he mows her down. Like, oh wow, like that's really kind of disturbing. Then we get the line again. Like, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal, and have a happy new year.
And a happy new year.
Oh man, I'd almost like wish there was another McAllister one, just so we could see the third installment of the
Angels with the Filthiest Souls. Yeah,
get
down on your knees and tell me you love me.
Yeah, and then it's this exact same joke from the first movie. How loud is that TV? Like everybody's coming out in the hallway, like to see what's going on.
I know.
It's the Plaza Hotel. They have the best.
Yeah. It was a big tube TV. Must have powerful speakers back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no firecrackers to enhance the bullet sounds on this one.
True. So, yeah, that's my
idea. I see on Etsy they have postcards or posters. I can't quite tell. Someone made of the Angels with Filthy Souls movie, like a movie poster.
Awesome.
Yeah. That
would be a good Christmas decoration.
Yeah, that would be cool. Hall. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My number two is just the bird lady stuff. If you don't think about it too hard, like I said earlier, but it's sweet. It's the the old man in the first one. And she's just a crazy, she's just a misunderstood old lady and... blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I still don't know how she gets to the top of the opera or the whatever they're at. And just, I don't understand all that, how they get up there. But whatever. Good story. Good fun stuff.
Well, the pigeons flew her up there.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Number one's Alex.
I know you guys say they were unnecessary, but Harry and Marv, I did like them when they came back.
I don't know. I
It was just me.
I'm with you on this one, Alex.
Oh, okay. Oh, all the gags is Marv. It's the sticky bandits, and he's got tape around his hands just swiping stuff. Left and right. It's like, I can't believe that's working. And yeah, all the physical comedy, I mean, wouldn't work if you didn't have like really good actors doing the pratfalls, all the reactions, the hits, and everything, really selling them.
Yeah, no, it is.
So it's, hats off to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's fun seeing Joe Pesci mug for the camera like this. And then Daniel Stern is like, yeah, it gets a little tired as an adult, but he's a really good, like, physical comedian. Like, he definitely got the lion's share of, like, getting to react to things, because Pesci just pretty much is getting, like, knocked around for the most part. Whereas Stern's, like, he's having to do different things. Like, we get electrocuted, he gets all the paint. He gets the flower.
Getting up after the bricks.
Yeah, he gets
Harry.
He gets shot in the taint.
Oh man, that was great.
How powerful are those staples? Jesus Christ! Like that staple gun.
Very powerful.
I thought it was. I thought they were nails at first, and I was actually like a little uncomfortable. So yeah. I was like, oh man, he's gonna take one in the eyeball. He's gonna take one in the eye. And he almost does.
He just pinches his nose close. yeah, that scene was inspired. And I love how some of the traps Joe Pesci's like, he wasn't the one that got the iron with the light, but he knows that Marv did, so every light that he turns on, yeah, he always like jukes it.
You know, he's always,
and then he gets overconfident.
Yeah, he's always hesitant to touch the doorknobs now too.
Yeah, he's tapping to make sure that they're cool, or at least the room temperature. Oh, and I gotta say, that stunt was wild. Where his hair got lit, got lit on fire, and then the stuntman goes upside down, yeah, with the flames going up in his face. Like, oh my god. That might be like one of the most dangerous best stunts I've ever seen in my life. It's from Home Alone 2.
So this dovetails into my number one, well, which is that Marv and Harry should be dead. Like,
oh yeah, a thousand
like,
times.
Like, and I realize this ties in with the Looney Tunes stuff, but like it's a little different because I want to talk specifically about like all the different ways. Like the first brick should have been it for Marv. The very first brick.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. Let alone the fourth one. like oh my god. Like even if he was still conscious, like you instant brain damage. It was like the paint cans and I'm trying to remember all of the traps in the first one. And the only one I could think of that would be like auto, like if not autoerotic, yes. If not straight death, like permanent disability would have been the paint cans in the first one.
Oh yeah.
In this one, it's like all the traps are like that. Like they constantly like falling at least like 10 feet, and then the fall, 15. And then the last fall was like even further than that. Just those falls alone, they should have shattered like an ankle or a knee, let alone their spines and skulls.
Why would anybody soak a rope with kerosene?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like all that stuff should have killed them outright. The pipe.
That was
they
great.
They both take the face.
They're all
like,
faking. It's like, ow, right in the schnoz.
And they fall, yeah. That knocks him back through the hole in the floor.
That's another great shot. Oh my god, that was perfect.
So the fire and the gasoline in the toilet, like his face should have melted off, like in Poltergeist. Like,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. It would have been just been like one big poof. Obviously, yeah, that's the Looney Tunes thing again. But like that should have like melted his face off. I'm missing one here. The tool chest could kill somebody, but not the door thing. That was kind of silly.
Yeah, that was very cartoonish.
But yeah, they should be. Like, I don't know how they're still walking. Like, I do also like going back to the Looney Tunes thing. Especially because it's Joe Pesci, of all actors, is doing the Yosemite Sam thing because he can't actually swear. So
yeah,
yeah, he does a lot of that.
Speaking of Joe Pesci, I was talking about this with Laura. Like, I saw Home Alone and Lethal Weapon before I ever saw Goodfellas or Casino or any of those hard gangster movies he was in. So it's weird going that direction. Like, I never took him as serious in those movies. I don't go in that way, but I wonder if you went the other way, if it was hard for you to watch slapstick Joe Pesci. Well, does that make any sense?
So I saw, I think, yeah, this is probably the first thing as a kid that I remember seeing him in. And then, With Honors is a dramatic role where he's not playing a gangster. And then seeing Goodfellas eventually, you know, like, and Casino, like you said,
Yeah, like Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh, yeah, and the Lethal Weapon movies also, yeah. It's just kind of this comic relief, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw those first, and then I go back and watch those, and it's like, Jesus, he's crazy in those. But if I think I would have saw him in a different order, I don't know, if I would have saw him in those, like, first.
You're like, wow, this guy's fucking terrifying. Like, Yeah.
He's not a good dude in those movies, and here he's just, he's Yosemite Sam, and yeah. Or the other. Okay. What was the movie he played? The Super. Remember that movie?
Yeah. Remember that
one. Oh, yeah. He was also Mr. Big in Moonwalker. Don't forget that.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Shamau.
Jeez, he did Goodfellas and then he did Home Alone. Then the Super. Then JFK. Oh, man.
Got back into the left.
Have we done My Cousin Vinny?
We did that, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
I should watch that movie again.
Yeah, it really is versatile, right? Like, we always think of it as like the gangster stuff, but yeah. He's really good in With Honors, like I said, like, and that's the dramatic, like. Anyway. What were you saying, Jeff? Sorry.
I was just looking at him. I was wondering if he was in Mean Streets. I don't think he's in Mean Streets. But he's in Raging Bull. So I've never seen that either.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that. I haven't seen that one either.
We're going to do that next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Scorsese.
Yeah. All right. This is my number one or
your number one.
Your number one.
My number one is Tim Curry. You guys already talked a lot about him. But the one moment that stands out is when he does the Grinch face. It's like spot on.
Yeah, that was perfect.
His grin was literally like animated, like the cartoon. I was like, oh my God. Best moment of any Christmas movie almost. How he transformed. Forget all the makeup on Jim Carrey. Just have Tim Curry do it. Like, I don't know. That was perfect. Yeah, but all the stuff with him was great. But specifically him smiling like the Grinch was awesome. All right. Any honorable mentions?
Let's see.
No, I think I think we covered all of my honorable mentions.
Ally Sheedy. How shitty the hotel in Florida was made me chuckle. As they're pulling up. Like, I don't know what they thought it was going to be like down there. Like, they don't really ever explain that, do they? Just, like, how they messed up as badly as they did.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's rate it. Blah, 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 blah. As usual, we're going to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being garbage, 7 being Jesus Christ.
Scale of 1 to 7.
1 to 7.
We're senioritis. We're checking out for the year.
Yeah. Basically, we have one more episode, and we'll see you guys next fall. What? Alright. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. Alex, what do you give this movie?
Because of all, you know, the repetitive nature of this sequel, I'm going to give this a strong 5. If it didn't have so many... I know it tried some new stuff, but like we talked about, it was beat for beat the same movie as the first one. As entertaining as that is, I still love it. I can't give it a 6.
Okay, seems fair. Scott,
give it a 4. Kid me might have given it a 5, or probably would have given it at least a 5. But we did mention it. Movie did not need to be 2 hours long. We also didn't mention the John Williams soundtrack, which is It's still John Williams. Still his stuff. Still good. Yeah.
Were there new tracks? Or was it the same stuff?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah, some of them I recognize. Twice. So still amusing. Some of it was sweet. It definitely does feel like a Christmas movie, but yeah, 4.
All right, 4 as well. I don't hate it. I liked it, kind of. But if I was going to watch this again, I would just watch the first one.
Yeah, so definitely.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. And with that, it's time for our crossover list, which is what, Alex?
Our top 5 pratfalls from across media.
All right. I can tell you, I had a really hard time with this, so I kind of, we'll talk about it.
Oh, I actually had, I had a medium time with this one. I searched up a couple ones, but
a medium time.
A medium one.
I felt like this was,
that weren't cartoons.
I felt like this is more like an actor's thing, like my favorite actors do pratfalls. So I don't know. Well, and then I'll just pick one of his.
I ran into a little trouble, like, is this a pratfall or a stunt? So like the very first thing I thought of was like the Buster Keaton when the house falls on him.
That's the first thing I thought of too.
But I'm like, that's not really a pratfall. Yeah. It's awesome.
No,
it's super cool, yeah. But it's not. It's not a pratfall.
It is not. The actor,
it's a joke. It's a joke, but yeah, it's not a pratfall. Yeah.
It has to fall. All pratfalls are stunts, but not all stunts are pratfalls.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. Anyways, what's your number 5, Alex?
My number 5 is actually a clip that I saw on Instagram like a few years ago. And it's on the internet. It looks fake, but there's so much just crazy stuff out in the world that part of me really wants to believe that it's real. But it's this guy that's getting out of the car and he says, "Oh, I almost kicked this rock." And then he's walking over with his friend filming and he's like slipping on this patch of ice for 15 seconds. Like he's on a treadmill that's going too fast. Now, I don't know. I'll link it for you guys. But I think once you guys see it, have you guys seen it? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'll link it. But man, it is, even if it's fake, this is a great piece of athleticism. It's incredible. It's like a man slips on ice for 15 seconds. And really, it is 15 seconds of him just bubbling around on the ice, just catching himself constantly until he finally does fall. It's great.
Cool.
All right. Scott.
So, I had a hard time not doing TV stuff. So, most of my stuff's TV stuff. So, my number 5 is from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And it's when Larry David trips Shaq at the Lakers game.
That's my number 3. Yeah.
So I'll say that for you, Alex. But yeah, it's not the funniest thing ever on Curb, but it's pretty funny.
Like, the fall itself's not that funny.
The fall itself is not.
It's the repercussions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a pratfall, though.
Alright.
And Shaq is like acting it up, like he hurt his knee. Like, yeah.
Like he did on the court.
Yeah.
So so pratfalls are anytime Star-Lord falls over in a Marvel movie, right?
No? Yeah.
Sure. All right. That counts. It's been 3 years.
I'm going with the stuff with Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation. We just saw it, and he's up in the attic, and he's stepping on floorboards, and they're hitting him in the face, and he's falling down, then he falls to the floor a couple times.
That's good, yeah.
I was kind of thinking of, like, those 80s actors. Like, I was thinking the Three Amigos. Like, who of them does more pratfalls? And Steve Martin really doesn't do that stuff, but well,
I would qualify. Is it Steve Martin's character? Is it Lucky that he gets the chains to the wall?
Yeah, he's the one that's chained to the wall.
Yeah, I would qualify that as a pratfall when he gets sucked back into the wall.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. But if I'm thinking he's got to tilt the camera.
Yeah. But those three actors, the other two are more likely to do that kind of stuff than he is. I guess that's what
right,
I was trying
right,
to
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Chevy Chase on SNL, that was his whole thing, was like he would do
Yeah, he was the fall guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Alex, number four.
My number four is from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The episode, Frank's Little Beauties. I mean, the fall isn't... Again, it's just Frank running up. He's panicking. Holy shit. And on that season, we've talked about this before, I think. On that season, there's something like really gory that happens to one of the characters in almost every episode. I think in every episode that season, something really gross, horrifically gory happens. And in this one, Frank's Little Beauties, Frank is panicking. He just slips and falls, like flat on. You don't see it because he falls like on the other side of the bar and everything. But when he gets up, his nose is all really fucked up. He's got blood just bursting out of his nose and area, and he's got two black eyes instantly. It looks so fucking hilarious. He's talking about it. He's got to stop the beauty contest and everything. It's like, Frank, the thing of Frank, you really got to get cleaned up. He's like, do I look suspicious? Just talking with just blood through his face. It's, oh my God, it's one of my favorite episodes of all time.
Do you have any other, or Jeff, maybe, do you have any other Always Sunny?
No, but I just want to say, is that also the episode where I don't go diddling kids?
Yeah, yeah. Diddling kids. He's kind of dressed like the Penguin a little bit to kind of and hide the bruises that he has on his face. Yeah.
Alex, I have one of my honorable mentions is when D does the header into the car.
That one's also great.
That one sounds pretty good. That one's pretty solid that it's stunt work. It's
wham. Oh my God. She dents the fucking car. Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
Frank coming out of the couch and falling onto the floor. That's
yeah. God. Oh yeah. I still got to watch the Christmas special this year.
He's so disgusting in that.
I've had an egg in these troubled times.
Egg. What the? All right, Scott, number four.
My number four is Donald O'Connor in the whole make him laugh sequence from Singing in the Rain, where he's...
Never watched that movie.
He's doing, like, he does several pratfalls throughout that number. It's a super cool sequence number. I don't know what you call it. Because like he's like third billing in this. Well, maybe back then he was a bigger name. Like now hardly anybody knows who he is. Like I barely know who he is because of just Singing in the Rain. But he's doing stuff that's way more impressive than Astaire is. It's cool to see. Like he's doing a lot of physical comedy. It's worth a watch anybody wants to YouTube the Donald O'Connor make him laugh. It's less funny and more just like, wow, this guy's like super talented. Kind of thing. But yeah, that's cool. That's my number four.
Yeah. No CGI back then.
No.
Everything was camera tricks, forced perspective, and just real fucking stunts.
People dying.
Yeah, people dying.
All right. Well, my... I don't know if this count was again. This is the pratfall or this is a stunt, but mine is... Tobias Fumke as Mrs. Featherbottom falling off.
That's number two.
Yeah, that's hard for me. I meant to say Gene Kelly, not Fred Astaire. Sorry. Anyways, good.
Well, if you guys have, we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
It is me, Tobias.
Oh, God damn. All right, well, you guys talk about it later. Alex, number three.
My number three is Curb Your Enthusiasm with Shaq and everything. right next to Larry David is sitting next to who's John Lewis? Something Lewis.
Yeah, it's Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis. Thank you. Yeah. Richard Lewis just stretching his leg, Shaq trips over. And then Larry David, to everybody's surprise, he's enjoying it. He's having the time of his life. He's having the best luck ever. Oh, man, that episode's great.
People stop asking him to do stuff. Really? Sure. Oh, God. Yeah. Everybody goes gets coffee and... Oh, I'm going to put milk in coffee. Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah. Being a vanilla bullshit. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's just milk and coffee. Just vanilla bullshit.
It's just milk and coffee.
Oh, God. All right. Scott, number three.
Number three is... The pratfall itself is funny, but it's more just part of the whole sketch. And it's in my like top, I don't know, 5, 10 SNL sketches of all time. And it's the Matt Foley sketch, Chris Farley.
Oh, that's good.
When he falls to the table at the back. And specifically,
specifically
the one with Christina Applegate. God, that's
the first one.
Yeah, I think it's the very first one. Yeah, they break character because they can't stop laughing at him. Like, at least David Spade and Applegate, Phil Hartman and what's her name? They fare a little bit better. I think Phil Hartman was great about not breaking character, but he's
a professional. Damn it!
Yeah, he starts pumping his arms and then he falls to the table. God. Classic stuff.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Dad?
Kindly shut your damn yapper.
Three buddies. Three pals.
All right. Alex. Oh, sorry. Wait, what? That was... What? Jesus. That was Scott's number three?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. My number three... And once again, this is maybe kind of a... multiple of whatever. It's Eddie Valiant putting on the trick show for the weasels in Roger Rabbit.
That's pretty good.
That was great. Yeah.
With the cannonballs and do all that stuff and bouncing on whatever he's doing to make him laugh.
You're killing him, Eddie.
Yeah. So, speaking of Looney Tunes, that's what they were going for there. But there it makes a little more sense. Since they're in Toontown. Or next to Toontown, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Alex, number two.
My number two is Mrs. Featherbottom taking that gator off the balcony with an umbrella. Oh, that's great.
Just so many points. And at that point, does he have like the stubble growing into?
So stupid. It's me, Tobias. Oh God, this is the. I hope it was ad lib, but that way it's hilarious. The sound he makes.
All right, Scott, number two.
And my number two is also the Mrs. Featherbottom.
Right. There it is. Oh man.
Alright. My number two, because I can't come up with a single one, but when I was a kid, this is kind of the first I ever thought, heard or pratfalls or it's Jack Tripper from Three's Company. Yeah. So everything he did on that show, falling over the couch, falling down, stepping in here, hitting his face at the door. So I'm going with Jack Tripper. But I couldn't pick out a single one.
Nice.
All right. Alex, number one.
My number one is similar to yours, Jeff, where I couldn't pick a single one, but I did just because this character is in his skivvies when it happened. But Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld.
My number one as well.
Michael Richards has a lot of pratfalls. But the one where he's with Calvin Klein modeling the underwear, it's like for no reason. All he has to do, all he's doing is like leaning against the wall. But I guess it's a little bit slippery because of all the oil that's on him. And he falls over and he's just in his tiny whitey Calvin Klein's, but he's still wearing his socks and loafers. Oh, that's great.
That's good.
Oh, my God.
I think the wall was curved. Wasn't that what it was?
But yes, it remember. Was curved. Yeah, he hit it the wrong angle. Plus, he's all slippery from the oil. He's like, whoops.
All right, Scott, number one.
My number one is from The Simpsons, and it's when Homer tries to skateboard over the gorge.
That's one hell of a pratfall.
And he just falls all the way down, and then you're like, okay, that was pretty funny. And then you have the whole thing with the ambulance. And you have an all-time, like, gag there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's
he falls, such a great he joke. He falls forever, too.
And the gurney falls on his head.
Oh, man.
Good thing he's got Homer Simpson syndrome.
That's probably the first, like, time I remember laughing that hard at The Simpsons was that gag.
Agreed.
Is that like first season?
It's early. I don't know if it's first season, but it's early, yeah.
It might be late. Yeah, late first season, early second season. Somewhere around there.
All right.
Bart the Daredevil.
Yeah. My number one is Kramer as well. And the one I'll pick is, I mean, you could pick from numerous ones, but there's one where like Jerry and Elaine are watching TV and Kramer comes out and he starts like having like a seizure and he's just freaking out behind him and he falls down.
That's right.
Yeah, because apparently Mary Hart's voice gives him seizures. I don't know. But yeah, Kramer is, I guess, the epitome of the neighbor. But I think Jack Chipper was first, but Kramer did it better.
Mm-hmm. I know. He's just his physicality in his falls and gags is almost unmatched.
Yeah. And I guess Jack Chipper did it first, because my honorable mention would be Dick Van Dyke, which that's probably the original, but who knows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any from you guys, honorable mention?
Just one going back to the internet. The reason it did make my list, because I still don't know.
The lady on the dirt bike?
Well, that one's freaking classic, but...
Yeah.
But that wasn't on purpose. So the one I still don't know if it's on purpose or not. Either way, it's pretty brilliant. Is the Afro Ninja?
Oh, that was not on purpose.
I don't know.
Because he was on Tosh.0 talking about it. He got a concussion from that.
Well, I mean, that's what he said. Like, I generally hope like it was an accident, but like, I mean, I hope. Well, that came out wrong. Like,
yeah.
Like, I hope the guy is perfectly fine and like had no like lasting issues from that, but. Like, when he does the flip, he gets up and is like, his afro's dented, and the way he stumbles off with the nunchucks. Yeah. Oh, God. That was
great.
That's OG internet, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Afro Ninja. Because I'm not 100% sure that it was real, but it's honorable mention.
Back then, that was real. You didn't see the entire video, though, where it was a bunch of quote-unquote actors... whatchamacallit, auditioning for the role of a tough guy or something, and they wanted to see him fight or do some martial arts. Yeah. Because the whole video, there's some other just like jobber looking guys beating up on one of those torso dummies. One guy was trying to kick an apple off that guy's head, off one of those dummies' heads. And there's no way it was doing it. And then Afro Ninja was like towards the middle.
Okay. It's cold.
I know it wasn't on purpose and it wasn't a pratfall, but one of my favorite, it sucks because she probably really got hurt, but it's like a news report and there's these two ladies jumping on the grapes. And they're ice jogging and they're like, oh yeah, it's great exercise. Get fresh air and streets to yourself. And then they run away and then just in the background you see her slip and fucking nail her head. Oh my God.
I thought you were going to talk about the lady who was doing like the grape stomping.
Not that one.
Feels bad for her. Well, the other lady sounds like should feel bad for her too.
Oh yeah, you feel bad for her, but it's still hilarious. Just they're so stupid. Oh yeah, it's running. It's so. You just see her in the background, just slip.
What is it? What is this? I want to watch this now.
Snow run fall. I don't know. Snow. Snow jog.
Is it the Metro Weather? Is it like a news thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I pulled up. I'll watch it. I pulled up the Grape Lady again. I'm pretty sure she. I'm pretty sure she dies.
No, watch the Snow Jogger now. What the hell? Watch Snow Jogger.
Okay. I'm watching it right now.
It's 40 seconds.
It's the perfect texture for running. Live commentary.
The news lady's dead. The Grape Lady, she's totally dead. God, the camera won't even show her on the ground. That...
There she goes.
It's low impact.
Oh!
Bam! Oh, no. She might be dead.
And then she, oh my god, she's not okay.
Slow impact.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah, she falls. Her head whiplashes onto the concrete, but she's holding her lower back. Oh my god.
All right. Watch it up. Look for it on YouTube, people. Yeah. Snow Jogger Fall. Look that up and you'll find it.
Yeah, there's a reason why pratfalls are always funny. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's her, then I'm sorry that happened to you, but you know, you've brought joy to millions. So
yeah.
Hope you're okay.
Oh, yeah. She's dead. like, she's got the, they got nowhere to go to. The camera's just going to follow them the whole way down the street.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. I think it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, Angels are... quite possibly losing their second best player.
Go on.
Shohei Ohtani is in a free contract. He's a free agent. That's the one.
You are correct, sir.
Yes, he's a free agent. He's being courted by numerous teams. We'll see what happens.
But I guess he's being unusually secretive. Like, I don't know. Is there like do sports guys usually talk a lot about their trades? Like, oh, I'm being courted by this person. I'm thinking of going to this team.
It's not super unusual. It's in line with like how he operates. He seems like a pretty private dude.
It's not unusual for him. It's unusual for baseball.
I see.
The only people that are upset are reporters because now they have to actually do some real work.
That's what it seems like in this ESPN article.
Yeah, I've been reading all these articles from people. They're just like, oh, they should let us know what they're doing because I don't know what they're right about. Like, well,
is this bad for baseball? Is this bad for his career? It's like, probably not. But yeah, they're framing it and it's like, oh, this is, he should be talking to the media, which is, you know, communicating to the fans, the ticket holders that buy, you know, his merchandise and his tickets. It's like, eh, I think he's fine.
But
yeah.
I saw, go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't want him to leave. Obviously, it's my team he's leaving. But at the same time, my team sucks, and I'd rather him. You got to let him go. Got to let that little baby bird fly away.
Baby bird.
I'm already, like, through the stages of grief, so. Yeah.
If he goes to the Toronto Blue Jays, he's going to be a real baby bird.
I saw this guy post about how the winner of the All-Star game in MLB should, the winner gets to have Ohtani in the World Series. I'm like, like during the All-Star game, he just sits in this like box that's like 30 feet above the field and just judges everything that's going on. I took it a step further.
Go ahead.
I took it a step further and said that Shohei should be able to replace any player at any time with Ipe, his translator.
I was just going to say, just on the same Angels sadness, it would be like the winner gets to pick between Trout and Ohtani, and then the other one goes to the loser. So they both get a chance. There you go. There it's time for Niamh News.
Yeah.
It was not much for me. Big patches in the video games for Baldur's Gate. What's going on, Jeff?
Are you watching that lady fall again?
No, big patches just sounds like that's somebody you're referencing. Like that's a friend of yours. Or just,
my pal, big patches.
Making some moves.
he's got a lot going on right now.
Big patches.
Big patches. But yeah, some big updates for Baldur's Gate 3 and Cyberpunk 2077. Both those games are great. They're getting we're getting close to video game award season, which I think is tomorrow. Even yeah, tomorrow might be the video game awards.
The game awards,
yeah, which is turned into a thing because they'll announce stuff there.
Old celebrity do you think they're gonna have announcing one of the best voice actors?
Oh, there'll be something awkward going on. There always is. Well, they could Keanu would come out there. I mean, he was doing the Idris Elba. One of those two guys come out because of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I bet Elba would do it if they let him like DJ something. So yeah, that stuff's out. We're getting close to the end of the year here. No real. I think we're the last thing to come out that I'm interested in is a Warhammer game, of all things, called Rogue Trader, and it's going to be like a CRPG, like in the style of Baldur's Gate. It's by Owlcat Games, the people that did the Pathfinder games that I would talk about occasionally. Okay. That coming out.
Yeah.
I think that it might actually already be out. Yeah. I think I forgot to buy it. So I need to go check that out after we're done here. Other than that, not much for me.
What about the trailer for GTA 6? That was
oh, leaked. That's right. Thank you, Jeff. I did watch that. I'm glad I'm not like a GTA fan. Not because the game doesn't look cool or anything, but like the end of the trailer was like coming in 2025. Like, so I know. So it'll have been like 14 years between games, something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Which all like all my favorite series are kind of like that now. They're in books too.
Half-Life 3 says, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like it's wild now. Like, I'm not gonna. I was reading the other day. So the next Bethesda thing. Now that Starfield, I'm sure there's going to be like a lot of support and updates for Starfield, but the next Bethesda thing is going to be another Elder Scrolls game, which is okay. But what I really want is another Fallout, but they're not going to do that until they're done with another Elder Scrolls. So we're looking at like 2030 for Fallout 5, which is unacceptable to me. It's like, I who knows what's going to happen between then and now. Like, you know, the Kodos and Kane.
The real Fallout might happen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We'll be living it for real. Oh, which leads me to the last thing I want to talk about, actually. Speaking of Fallout.
Wait, hold on. Before you leave to GTA, so you guys never played that series, right?
I played a little bit of 3. Maybe 4. What was the one in that was in Liberty City that wasn't New York?
Liberty City is New York, right?
Oh, so I mean Vice City. I mean, like, it was obviously based on New York, but it was called something else. Was that 4?
It's been a couple. They go back and forth. I think 3 was the first one, and that the first, like, non, like, top view one. I think that was Liberty City, New York.
Okay.
And then I think 5 was again. I don't know. There was Hollywood in there.
Okay, I never played 5. And I played one of them, didn't get super into it, which is funny because I love Cyberpunk. And like Cyberpunk has a lot of like running around and like getting in fights and stealing cars and shit. So it's like, I don't know what the difference is for me, but I mean, the game looks cool. Like it looks technically impressive. So, you know,
the best kind of impressive.
Yes, technically. But yeah, like I said, I'm glad I'm not super hyped for it. Cause yeah, like I said, I gotta wait another 2 years.
Yeah, I played almost mm-hmm. all of them. I thought I found Vice City was the most entertaining. So maybe I'll get this one when it comes out. I don't know. Anyway, I haven't played a video game in a long time, so we'll see what happens.
You need to, Jeff, you need to, right when it's about to come out, buy another Xbox Series X.
Yeah, just play it and then return it again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get it on my PC, or maybe I'll just get Vice City on my PC.
So you could do that. Yeah. So, they said that it's not going to be available on PC at launch.
Okay.
So you might have to wait till like 2060. I mean, 20. Yeah. I mean, 2026. Somewhere between 2026 and 2060.
I will play the original Vice City on my PC
with blackjack and hookers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game probably has. Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Anyway,
right. So going back to Fallout, they had a trailer for the Amazon TV series for Fallout.
Yeah, it looks so fucking good.
It looks interesting. Some of the CG, like on the rad roaches, was like, but that was like my really only nitpick. Yeah. The other thing I thought was kind of missing, well, you know, it was just a trailer, so I don't expect everything to be in there, was that kind of corny Americana felt like was missing from everything in there. But we'll see. But yeah, it looks interesting. I'll definitely be checking it out. I forget the date on that, but that's coming soon.
In April next year.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I will check that out.
Sooner, sooner than Grand Theft Auto.
I mean,
that's for damn sure.
It sucks, too, because we'll that's going to come out, and then we're still going to have to wait until 2030 for Fallout 5. It's depressing.
Mm.
I don't know. It'll probably be out before the next Mass Effect.
Probably.
So, there we are. Although there was a teaser for Dragon Age today. I haven't checked that out yet, so I'll have to go do that. But that one's not... I think that teaser said that they're going to have more information.
We're not coming out.
Yeah, they're going to have more information this coming summer. So it's like... It was like a promise ring. It wasn't even like an engagement ring.
promise ring.
So yeah, that's it. That's enough of the video games. So that's it for me. Alex, anything you want to go over?
Yes. Two things. I'm going to get my angry rant over with first so that we can leave on a high note with my Niamh news. But Ahsoka, I am very mad. Did you guys finish the series?
I have not.
Oh, I told you. I stopped watching it because it sucked.
Are you hopping mad?
I am hopping mad.
Oh, wow.
For reasons that you cannot comprehend because you haven't seen the last episode. But oh, do you guys mind if I talk about it? Spoilers?
Talk about it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, the series overall, I got to say, not as bad as I thought. I actually found it very entertaining. So, I was going to give it a 5. But then at the very end, I was like, oh, my God. Because they set it up. They set up the last episode to be one like, oh man, the next season is going to be one of the greatest. It could be potentially. I was getting hype. The greatest Star Wars entertainment thing that's been out since Jedi, I would say. That's how hype I was because this is going to be awesome. This is great. This is an awesome setup. I can't wait for season 2 of Ahsoka or if it's a spinoff show or whatever. And the setup was that. Sabine, who is as dumb as Jar Jar at this point, goes over, brings Thrawn back, finds Ezra, shocker, I know, and then in one of their adventures, they're trying to stop Thrawn from taking off into Star Destroyer to get, you know, back to the galaxy of the Empire and everything. And so Ezra makes it onto the ship, but then Sabine has to go back to save Ahsoka, who's fighting off some troopers and one of the witches, the main witch,
Glinda.
Yes, Glinda, the bad witch. So at that point, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be Ezra, and then on the next season, at least a few episodes, him crawling through the vents, fucking shit up on that Star Destroyer, like, oh, now I have a blaster, ho, 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 this is going to be awesome. This is the crossover the people have been waiting for, right?
Right.
And I was, Filoni just chicken shitted out at the last minute, where we see the shot of the New Republic ships, and then there's, you see, like, one of the shuttle that looks like an Imperial shuttle, like Shuttle Tidarium, and at first I'm like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't look the same, it's retrofitted, so it would make sense that the New Republic would take old ships, retrofit them to fit their new needs and everything, and I thought it was going to be, like, Senator Leia or something, another CGI deepfake Leia, to do one last scene before the credits. Nope. It's Ezra that he pulled an egg shen. It wasn't easy. He got out of the ship on a transport back to the fleet.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't watch.
Yeah, I am just so disappointed. God damn it. What was that article that was written? It was John McClane versus the Death Star. Was that on Something Awful? Way back in the day? You guys remember reading that one?
I don't remember.
No.
Yeah, somebody wrote like this whole, like, very detailed description and story of how it would go of the Death Star versus John McClane. And eventually John McClane would win, naturally. him going through the ducts and everything, fucking shit up. But yeah, all that just gone in a puff of smoke. Filoni, you blew it. Ugh, glad I got that out. Never have to watch another Star Wars again.
It was pretty awful to begin with, and when there were those little rock people, I just turned it off. I was so mad. I just stopped watching.
Oh, really? I like the Ninja Turtles.
Didn't give them a chance. No, they look stupid, and I'm tired of it, and I'm not going to waste my time anymore.
Oh, I kind of like those. But to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing was Loki season 2. I burned through that in like 2 nights.
That 2 episodes
was incredible. Oh, it just keeps getting better. It is so good. Like, man, Tom Hiddleston does a great job with, you know, evolving Loki's character. It's amazing. It's great. Subverted my expectations in the best way possible. I loved it. So that you should definitely watch.
Nope.
Go back to Gotham, Jeff.
I wish.
Jeff and his stories.
And his stories. But that's it for me.
All right.
Loki season 2, highly recommend it.
All right. Jeff, anything from you?
Look, it's a couple things. I went to Downtown Disney this week. And we're meeting up with my brother and his family, and we got there early, so we were just like going in stores, and we went in the old Rainforest Cafe, which is now like a Star Wars.
I was going to say, is that still there?
Yeah. So now it's like an old Star Wars souvenir shop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm over Star Wars now, but I go in there, they're playing original like John Williams music. Oh, God damn it. Now I'm starting to get into this. And I'm looking at all their stuff, and I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. This is like this art style and like of like, I don't know how to describe the style, but like these little, little posters you put on your wall, and it'll be like in a weird style, but it'll be like of Jabba's palace, and you just have different versions of Jabba and all the little creatures in the background, or the cantina with Honda Baba and the Tonica sisters in the back and all this weird stuff. It was cool. Nice. The whole time we're there, and I'm like, God, you don't hate this. This is the best stuff. They don't even sell this stuff inside the park, like at Star Wars Land. And I'm going around. And then finally, right as we were leaving, I'm like, oh, this is all original trilogy stuff. And a couple prequel. They have no Rey. So they sell like the good stuff outside the park, but because it's not in their canon, they don't sell it inside the park. And that just really pissed me off. But then I realized it's easier for me to go there than in the park, so maybe it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all original trilogy, and there was one thing. It was like a shirt of Padme, and like and with all her different hair styles, I think. That was like the only prequel thing. I didn't see anything Anakin, nothing Jar Jar, nothing old or young Obi-Wan. It was all just original trilogy and like that one Padme shirt. I'm like, yeah, I could deal with this. So I don't know. It was pretty cool.
Where do you park for Downtown Disney now? Because I'm sure our listeners are fascinated about that.
Just a Downtown Disneyland parking lot.
Like, is it right next to Downtown Disney or do you have to like...
Yeah.
Okay, so it's you don't have to go from like the... Like...
So it's on Coachella and West / Disneyland Park.
So it's
drive.
A walk.
So, yeah, but not that big of a walk. It's like, because Downtown Disney's right there.
It's the same parking lot that it's always been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not the parking structure or anything. It's the...
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought for a while... No. For a while, you couldn't park next to it. Like, they would send you, like, into, like, the Pumbaa lot.
Oh, yeah. I think... Was that because they were doing construction on the hotel?
I don't know.
Or something.
It was awful.
Yeah, it's right where I've always owned it. Too.
Okay, okay.
Right there at Coachella and... Disneyland Drive, but whatever that it's West Street, whatever they turn, whatever West Street turns into when you pass Coachella. But you still have to pay. Even validation, they'll validate you still have to pay $10 no matter what. Bullshit.
Yeah.
That is bullshit. I'm glad that you brought that up because I was like, I'll go get me some salt and straw, but not for an extra $10.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for under an hour you could. I don't know. We went and they had the kids get their pictures taken with Santa Claus, and so we were just hanging out with that. And
yeah. So. Fucking Michael Eisner.
Some nice carolers in there. It was... No, I'll talk about this afterwards, because no one cares. And then the other thing I did was... I went to a Rams game for the first time at SoFi Stadium.
La Rams.
So that was fun. Yeah. So I went to a football game. Don't do that very often. We went to the new SoFi Stadium in LA, and it was a pretty nice experience. I mean, parking there's $120, so that's not cool.
You're making that up, Jeff.
No. That's okay, it's $120 to park in the tailgating lot. So we were in the tailgate. But that literally is all it means is you get an extra the parking spaces are an extra like 5 feet deep. And that's it.
Oh my god.
But we did that, we got there early and we set up a chair. We didn't like actually like everyone else had these grills out. We made cold turkey sandwiches. That's what we did. But we had our coolers, we had snacks and stuff, and it was just fun. People, these guys go crazy, man. Nothing like football. I love sports, but these football people are out of the, they're a different breed than baseball and hockey people.
I mean, I guess you only have to like gear up for it once a week, right? So
yeah, and like home games 8 times a year, like it's not it's a rare thing. So I get it. But and I will say, go in there. We went early, so traffic was... from Orange County to L.A., or, you know, where we were in L.A., Inglewood, it was a 35-minute drive.
Inglewood!
Coming home was, like, almost 2 hours. Just, like, getting out of there and just...
Sounds about
right. The city is not made up for it. Like, just... Once we're on the freeway, we're basically fine. It was just getting to the freeway because not made to handle it, but... Whatever. It's a good game. Rams won. And I recommend it. If you've ever been to a football game, go. But prepare to be surrounded by drunk people.
Just like I've never... That's never happened to me before. No. So I don't know how I'll
take that. Yeah, me either. I'm going to be very awkward.
No. Like, it's... I mean, like I said, I've been to tons of hockey games, tons of baseball games. And these football drunks are a different breed.
Serious pre-gaming. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's... that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Sounds like we're good.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you. So feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. The reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.